Yeah, I'd say, Michael, you're welcome anytime here. For you that may be new, maybe last Sunday was your first Sunday and you're back today, welcome to you. Maybe this is your first Sunday. I met someone in the lobby today that was their first Sunday. I want you to know the theme that we have been giving emphasis to all this year is mission possible. And the scripture is from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The great commission that Jesus has given to us is very possible, but not without prayer. We've said that over the last few weeks, and we've heard a song about that today. Don't stop praying. Prayer and the Great Commission go together. And we who know Jesus, it's our responsibility to be praying to Him and asking for His movement to be in us and through us, and that the word we speak to others, that He would take that word and use it to His glory to change the world. And I think it's very important that we not miss the connection of what we saw happen last Sunday and what we're seeing happen today. As our church building is full, last Sunday it was filled twice. And God's moving. God is moving among us. And we spent a lot of time in prayer prior to Easter. Please don't miss connecting those dots. It all goes together. And so, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to ask for God's blessing among us. The mission is possible, but not without the Holy Spirit. We've even sung about that today as well. The Holy Spirit is in us, and He is leading us, and He's helping us. He's working in us and ahead of us, and He's working in people's lives after we're gone from them. The seed of the gospel that we have planted in people's hearts, the Holy Spirit is there after we're gone, and He continues to work with that seed, and He's growing that seed in people's lives, growing it into a harvest. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We desperately need Him. We need His fingerprints all over everything that we're doing here at Reinhardt. And the mission is possible, but not without boldness. That was what we gave emphasis to the week before Easter. I was so encouraged a few days before Easter as I've been looking for an opportunity to stop at this one particular house and give them an invitation to church. And they had built a new house. It's about 5 miles west from here. And I was wanting to see a chance to visit with them. And I saw their car was home, the gate was open. So I stopped and I walked up and knocked on the door. And a lady answered the door. She welcomed me. I just stood there at the doorway, but I told her who I was, invited her to Easter service that was coming up. And she was very receptive. She didn't sick the dog on me at all. And thanked me for my invitation. And before I left, she said, hey, I want you to know, two of your people from your church have already been here, and they've invited me to Easter service as well. Praise the Lord for that. The mission is possible, but not without boldness. And I was thinking, what impact would we have upon this area if we blanketed our neighborhoods, if we blanketed our counties with invitations to the Lord Jesus and to Reinhardt. I think it would make a huge difference. We need more boldness in our witnessing. Let me introduce another thought to you as we're thinking about mission possible. Mission is possible, but not without love. You hear me say that? Let it sink in, because this is as important, if not more important, even than what we've talked about in weeks past. The mission that Jesus has given us is possible, but not without love. People will not care what you know until they know how much you care. And that was one of the things that attracted people to Jesus so much. He cared about them. The religious leaders of the day, they didn't care about the average person, really. All they cared about was whether the people were following the letter of the law. And they could not even rejoice when a miracle had taken place if they thought the letter of the law had been broken. They were like religious policemen running around, making sure everybody's obeying the letter of the law and the traditions that they had placed upon people. And Jesus wasn't so worried about the traditions. He wasn't so worried about the letter of the law. He was more worried about the spirit of the law. You can't do that on the Sabbath, Jesus. And right there in front of their nose, a lame man had been healed. He hadn't walked for 38 years. And now all of a sudden, because of Jesus, he was walking. He's picked up his mat, and he's doing that which hasn't happened for 38 years. And these Pharisees couldn't rejoice in that because the miracle had happened on a Sabbath day. The same scenario happened again in John chapter 9. There, Jesus healed a blind man. He'd been blind from birth for 40 years. How dare you heal this man on the Sabbath, the religious leaders said to Jesus. You read the whole text, they didn't ever say one word about the incredible miracle that had just been done. All they could focus on was that Jesus had done the miracle on the Sabbath, and the letter of the law in their mind had been broken. They couldn't focus on the act of love. They couldn't focus on the mercy that had just been shown. Tell me, who really was the blind person in this story? The Pharisees were blinded by their own sin and their own arrogance, and certainly the world is not going to be attracted to that. If we want to reach the world with the gospel, we have to have his love in us and flowing from us. Jesus said it this way in John 13, 34 and 35, "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I want to ask you, is his love being seen in you? Can people tell that you are a Christian by the love that is flowing from you? If they can see your love, then they're going to be more interested in what you have to say to them about Jesus. For a few moments, let me just mention to you some ways that his love might show itself through us. And the first way is simply this: Jesus' love will show itself as you meet people's needs. That's the kind of love that he had. He met people's needs. The woman with the flow of blood, he healed her and gave her back her dignity. The widow whose son had died, he raised that young man from the dead and gave him back to his grieving mother. The woman who for 18 years had not been able to straighten up, she was hunched over, and Jesus healed her. Can you imagine the freedom that she must have felt? To be able to straighten up and to have that oppression on her body gone from her? All of these people that I've just mentioned to you, Jesus reached out to them and he met their need. He loved them through meeting their needs. And as he met their needs, I'm quite sure that they were willing to hear what he had to say to them. True love will seek to meet people's needs. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says this: "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." In other words, let your love have some action to it, and have it to be more than just words. Make sure your love is touching people where they are. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. If they're naked, clothe them. For in so doing, Jesus said, you're doing the same thing to me. James 2 is one that we shouldn't overlook either. Chapter 2, verses 15 and 17 says, "If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you don't give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." Jesus's kind of love meets people's needs, and then that opens the door for people to hear what we have to say to them. And so let me encourage you to look for people's needs. Have your eyes open. Have your ears open. Have a heart that's ready to respond to what the Holy Spirit will be leading you to do. I said it in the Sunday school class this morning. If we will listen to the Spirit and be obedient to Him, His voice will become louder and louder to us. So, how is it that God's love will be shown through us? By meeting people's needs. Let me give to you a second point here. Jesus' love will show itself as you love the unloved. I heard a true story recently of a couple that was getting ready to adopt a baby, but they found out this baby was going to be born with spina bifida. And the doctors said the baby would live, but for the rest of her life, she was going to have some very serious challenges. The adoption agency called and said, "Hey, we'll understand if you guys decide you want to back out of this adoption." And as the couple was wrestling and struggling with this decision and they're praying about it, the wife said, "One night I had a dream. And in my dream, I was in this huge stadium as beautiful children were brought up onto the stage for adoption. And each child will be held up, and somebody on the stage would hold that child up. Who wants this child?" And people all over the stadium, couples, I'll take that child. But there was one child who was brought up who was very disfigured and marred. And they held the baby up, and "Who wants this child?" the person on stage said. And it was quiet all across the stadium. And nobody was clamoring to take this child. And then there was one who stood up and said, "I'll take that child." And in her dream, she looks and she sees the person walking to the front to get the child was Jesus. Wow, what an incredible picture of who Jesus is. But the lady continued. She said, "In my dream, when Jesus went down to get the baby, this disfigured baby, I got a glimpse of the baby's face, and the baby was me. I was the baby that was marred and disfigured. She said, I know now that the truth, Jesus has adopted me when I was disfigured and wrecked by sin. And I know now that he wants us to take this child in as our very own. You see, Jesus loved the unloved. He loved the lepers who were outcast to society. And we need to love as Jesus loved, and particularly we need to love the unloved. And there are a lot of people out there in the world who are like that. Jesus said, don't just love those who love you in return. Instead, love those who are not able to return the favor to you. As we do this, I bet that we will find that our love will lead people to the Savior. Let me give to you a third point. Jesus' love will show itself as we resist unfair judgment on others. Now, this one gets really tough. It's easy to judge people, isn't it? And that was a lot of the Pharisees' problem. They judged people from a pedestal up here. They looked down on the people, thinking they were better than everyone else. They were more spiritual in their minds. They were closer to God than all of these peons who were down below them. That's how they treated the people. Is it any wonder that they really didn't have a message for the people? They didn't have something that the people were clamoring to hear. You realize a lot of what Jesus had to say in his Sermon on the Mount was directed right at the Pharisees? How many times did he say in that sermon, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. That was chapter 5. Then you get to Matthew chapter 6. He says, now, don't pray the way the Pharisees pray. They use long and flowery speech, but they're really not praying from the heart. And then he said, don't give the way the Pharisees give, because they give to be seen by men and to be complimented by men and to be thought highly of by men because of their giving. Don't give that way. Instead, you give secretly. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then he said, when you fast, you are not to be as the Pharisees, for they have been seen fasting. They're fasting to be seen by men. They moan and they groan loud enough that everybody around them gives their attention to what's going on. And Jesus says, don't fast to be seen by men. Instead, your fasting should be in private. It should be between you and God. And if so, God will bless you. And then he gets to chapter 7. And that really gets sticky. He says, don't judge lest you be judged. Be careful lest you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you fail to notice the log that is in your own eye. And all of that was directed right at the Pharisees. And boy, were they hot after that sermon. But Jesus didn't preach to please his listeners. He preached what his heavenly Father wanted him to preach. He preached the truth in love. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Preaching the truth in love, that is not such an easy place to land. We too are to speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4:15, which is there on the screen behind me. I want you to read that as I'm talking to you. As we do this, we are to try and not come across as arrogant and judgmental, as having a I am better than you type attitude. No, we're all sinners. We all have fallen short, and we are all in need of a Savior. The only way that we can be saved is by God's grace, and we have the hope of heaven because of God's grace. If you've been watching The Chosen over these last few years, it does a really good job of showing that those who were following Jesus, they were a group of people that really didn't have it all together. You have Mary Magdalene, who was from the red light district. And she's one who has been demon-possessed in her life. Not just one demon, but seven demons. And you have Matthew, who was a tax collector. And then you have Peter, who has all kinds of issues. Particularly, he didn't care about Matthew. And these two, there was just, particularly from Peter, there's such a conflict. There's such a hardship between them. You have Simon the Zealot, who was trained to kill people. Right on down the list that we could go, Jesus had quite a colorful group following him. They were sinners, but you know what? The kingdom of God is made up of sinners. I sat down with a fellow a couple of weeks ago at the coffee shop in Nevada and talked with him for about an hour and a half, thanks to one of our members who's seeking to be a witness to this fellow who is his friend. And this fellow is living in the darkness. And Billy wanted his friend, his sinner friend, to meet me. And so I asked him as we sat down together, I simply said, hey, tell me your story. What's going on in your life? And he had two things to say. The first thing he said is, I like to drink a lot. And the second thing he said is, I like to hurt people. And he paused to see my reaction. And I questioned him on the second point. I said, you like to hurt people? What do you mean? You like to fight? Is that what you're saying? And he raises his fist. And folks, I've never seen such a fist. It was gnarled. It was swollen. It's the ugliest fist I've ever seen. It was that way because of fighting with people. And he leaned in again and emphasized, saying, I really like to hurt people. And I said under my breath, Lord, help me. I don't want to be the next person he hurts. And we had quite a conversation. But you know what he couldn't hardly grasp? He couldn't hardly grasp that God has a place in heaven for people like him. Our God is a gracious God. He is a forgiving God. He is loving and he is merciful. And he invites people just like him into his family. But he does call for us to change. He does call for us to repent of our sins, whatever those sins might be. He calls us to come out of the darkness and into the light. And I'm saying all of this in the context of this thought from Ephesians chapter 4, 15. We need to speak the truth in love. As I was talking with this fella, I was saying to him, yes, God has a place for you. People just like you who are in the darkness, and you desperately need him. Because he'd already confessed to me that he's searching in life, and he's not finding what he's looking for. And he looks at Billy and points at him across the table, and he says, I want what he's got. Amen? I mean, people who are in the darkness, they can see that, particularly if they've been searching and just coming up empty all of the time. And he knows what kind of life Billy used to live, and he knows the light now that Billy's enjoying. Not that Billy's perfect, right? Not that Billy's perfect. He's still growing. He's still wrestling. Satan's still working. There's a battle that's going on. But we need to speak the truth in love. And I said to that fella, his name was Brian, I said, Brian, you need Jesus in your life. You need to repent. You need to change. And so I spoke the truth to him. Tried to do it in love. And that's what God's calling all of us to do, is to speak the truth in love. God hates the darkness. God hates our sin. And the truth is, he hates my sin just as much as he hates Brian's sins. And you know what? The Pharisees couldn't see that. They couldn't see their own sins in the first place. All they could see was everybody else's sins. But God hates all of our sins. And God calls us to repent. And you know what? As we think about those Pharisees, I think Jesus hated the sin of spiritual pride as much as any sin. People thinking they're better than the next person. No, we're all in the same boat, the boat of sinners. We all need a Savior. And so we really don't have a reason to unrighteously judge others. But at the same time, we need to speak the truth in love. God hates all sin. He hates lying. He hates gossip. He hates grumbling. He hates sexual sin outside of marriage. He hates homosexuality. He hates our taking his name in vain. He hates your sin and my sin, but he loved us enough to send his son to die for our sins, and he can forgive us if we'll turn to him. And so as we think about this mission, this theme of ours, Mission Possible, we must know that God wouldn't be commanding something from us that was not possible. He's commanding something from us that is very possible, but not without love. And if we're truly interested in loving the way Jesus loved, we're going to meet people's needs. We're going to love people who are unloved by the rest of the world. And we're going to resist unfair, unrighteous judgment. And then I think people will be ready to hear what we have to say to them about Jesus. Let's pray together. God, help us to love as you loved. And help us to be ready to speak the truth to people as opportunities arise. In Jesus' name, amen.